Blog Talk Radio.
The following content may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Well, well, good evening, all, and welcome to the Radio Home Business Show, live from the Sunshine State, or as we're going to rename it, the Pollen State in the USA. Jay here with our co-host and executive producer, Pepe Farms. And a good evening to you, my friend. You know, Pepe, it doesn't snow in Florida, but it sure does pollen. This shit is everywhere, and I'm telling you, most people's allergies had them looking like stage 4 COVID. We were off last week, but here we are. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing well, Jay. I'm glad you recovered from your stage 5 COVID, though, and a fine Suez Canal day to you on the anniversary of Egyptian President Anwar Sadat declaring he would reopen the Suez Canal on June 5th, 1975, ending its 6-day war, 8-year closure. Evergreen ain't got nothing on the Yellow Fleet.
Yeah, but you know, they got that sucker unlodged today. Did you hear that?
Yeah, and then I heard it got lodged again, and then they got it unlodged again. they say it's still
now,
very windy.
Yeah, I know somebody else that says that. But, you know, apparently it still can't be moved because now it has to be checked to see if it's sale worthy. So who knows?
Oh, of course. But, you know, the way the Suez Canal set up, there's a big lake in the middle, so they either just have to – you know, they're not going to leave it in one of the canals, but they can move it halfway through and then check it out in the lake.
Well, that's reassuring because I went and stocked up on toilet paper today. Anyway.
God, I hate to think how much toilet paper we get from India. But, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, right. Now, I understand we have a special guest with us this evening.
Yes, Jay, please welcome my longtime friend and oft-thought-to-be-mythical internet personality, Black Pepe. A moniker we coined when we posted a picture of us adding "for prison" to the 2016 Hillary sign on my quarter. Black Pepe is a recovering liberal, currently sequestered at a mental hospital tonight, given special reprieve from his ongoing blue and on election shock therapy to join us. Welcome, B. I always meant to ask, somebody wants to find you on social media. Is Black Pepe hyphenated, like African American?
No, one more. One word, Black Pepe. That's all we need. Hello.
It's good to have you on, B, because I'm not even
Thanks
going
so
there.
Thanks so much for allowing me to be on.
Well, it's a pleasure. We were just talking with us in pre-show. Mike Tech, anyone watch day one Chauvin trial? I did. Pepe, did you?
No, I caught some of the highlights. You were just telling us about the expert MMA witness that was proclaiming that neck holds were deadly, and I pointed out that the police officer followed the police department policy to the letter. So even if it is deadly, he still has protection working for the city, doing what the city told him to do.
Right, right, right. Now, B, you're from Canada. Am I correct?
No, he's not from Canada.
You're
confusing.
You're
confusing him with the crazy Canadian.
Oh, I wonder where the hell I got that from. Anyway.
No, I'm not from Canada. Born and raised right
okay.
here in Durham.
Okay.
Government, education, K-12, indoctrination.
Now, have you ever been to Canada?
Yes, to Montreal, yes. Cleanest city I've ever been to. Oh my God.
Ooh, la, la.
It was so clean. It was so clean.
Really?
I was like, yes. Oh my gosh. I don't care where anybody says. No big cities in America is ever that clean.
Well, you know, I don't know where I got that Canadian thing. Did you feed me some bad info, Pepe?
No, you're thinking about the other Pepe, Canadia Pepe.
Oh, okay. my bad.
He's the one that has the theory about. He's the one that has the theory that the modern crop of young entertainers from Canada are reminiscent of the pro-America MAGA people from the 50s and 60s, or, you know, from the 50, 40s and 50s.
Okay. My bad, guys. All right, let's just get into it, guys. Audio soundbite number 4, please, Pepe.
Here we come.
Please give dignity to the people. Please give dignity to the people.
So you work for the commissioner, your senior advisor. You were hired 2 weeks ago, and you're instructed to ask us to not have any pictures taken here.
Please respect the people.
Because the political leadership at DHS does not want the American people to know it.
Please respect the rules.
You keep standing in front of the pictures, so you don't want the pictures taken. The rules are arbitrary, and they're designed to keep
the
American people in the dark.
Dignity and respect. That's all we ask.
Well,
dignity
no, it's not. You're asking, is this
please,
dignity and respect? Look at these people.
There's
a pandemic.
To the people.
Let me ask you. There's a
I
pandemic.
I respectfully ask you, sir.
There is a pandemic. Is this respecting the rights of these kids?
I ask you. Please
are you respecting
the
rights of these
this
kids?
This is not a zoo, sir. Please yes. don't treat the people.
You're right, and this is
yes,
a
sir.
Dangerous place.
Please don't treat the people.
And your policies,
right.
unfortunately,
you,
are trying to hide them. I understand
you
were instructed. When 18 senators came down here,
respect the people, give them dignity
and respect.
I respect
them, and I want to fix this situation.
We all
want to
fix
the administration
this, sir.
You're working for is
anymore.
Responsible for these conditions.
Please respect the people with dignity and respect.
And I ask you to respect the people as well. This
I am respecting
is not respect.
You. I am respecting
is,
the people.
This is not respect.
What you just listened to is a Biden admin official attempting to obstruct Senator Ted Cruz and other senators from observing and filming illegals in cages in Texas. The video is widely available, believe it or not, even on Facebook. But the nerve of this B word saying show some humanity and respect? Pepe.
I know. That was my reaction too, Jay. I mean, show some humanity, meaning don't expose us, not don't put 700 people in a cage meant for 70. I mean, give me a break. You know what this means now, though, Jay. With all those foil-wrapped kids, next year we'll add racist baked potatoes to the long list of white supremacist convenience foods.
I'm going to kill you. I swear to God.
Damn racist potatoes.
Oh, God. B. Go ahead, B. You're into it now.
Hey, I'm sort of along the lines of Adam. All I keep thinking is the old-style Jiffy Pop popcorn on the stovetop with the aluminum foil. You shake it, and you shake it, and you shake it until the kernels start popping. And all I can see are just people on people on people with this aluminum blanket. And I'm like, really? Really? This is your solution. This is the solution.
Well, yeah, apparently in the entire Trump administration, there were 25,000 unaccompanied migrant children. Biden's had 25,000 in the first 3 months.
Yeah, yeah. But our good friend, or fiend, you can go either way, Jim Psaki, there is no crisis at the border. It's a challenge.
Well, this is from the people that debate what the meaning of the word is. So, of course, there's no crisis.
Yeah.
Depends on how you define crisis, right? It's what they wanted,
well,
therefore it's not a crisis.
My take is...
What...
Go ahead, B.
Okay. I can tell you what a crisis is. A crisis is our education system. That's in crisis.
Well, yeah, that is a whole different show. But, you know, let me interject.
Okay.
When you send FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, down to the border, emergency crisis, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, remember when Cheeto face cucked out, he was going to report on the FEMA emergency camps, and then mysteriously didn't report on it.
I'll tell you. And, you know, it's just going to get worse. I'm just saying. Hey, you know, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but it's just going to get worse. All right, guys. And a win for the good news, guys. Fredericksburg, Virginia restaurant owner who scrapped the state mask mandate has defeated the Northern administration in court, successfully defending both his business and the freedom of choice after refusing to back down amidst health department efforts to shutter his business. Judge Ricardo Rigel denied the state's request to force the immediate and permanent closure of the Gourmelts restaurant. writing that the state has failed to clearly demonstrate the factors necessary to grant a temporary injunction, nor has it demonstrated that the Gourmets poses any actual threat to the general public. While the case may yet be brought to trial, the restaurant's doors will stay open in the meantime, dealing a strong blow to the efforts of the Northern Administration's shutdown agents.
Well, Jay, we have a situation here where the CDC is operating in conjunction with the UN to implement the Great Reset protocols. So technically, Northam could be legally within his rights to shut down any business that doesn't conform with the CDC's arbitrary standards. I mean, it's certainly not right or moral in our eyes, but they justify it in their minds as being for the, quote, greater good. The big lie, though, is that their, air quotes, stopping COVID isn't the goal they have determined the greater good to be. It's just one of the many means to an end. And what is this, Gourmets? Is that like gourmet fondue?
Well, I guess I didn't do my research, did I? I don't know. I just thought it was a win for the good guys. And along with that other crazy-ass, who's that governor of, is it Michigan? What's her name?
Gretchen Whitmer?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you got it. I mean, that whole cabal, Whitmer, Cuomo, Northern, I tell you, it makes my freaking head explode just thinking who in their right fucking mind elected these people.
Well, I can tell you this, Jay. I used to worry about it also, but it seems like these people have a tendency to self-implode after a while, much like Cuomo situation.
Yeah, once they become inconvenient.
You know, guys, speaking on the Cuomo thing, now he's up to what now, Pepe, 7 accusers on the sexual part?
Right, yeah, there's a video of him doing the weird – it's how Italians do it, double-faced smooch.
Yeah, and I think you and I had a conversation maybe a week or a little more ago about they're perpetrating this to get the thought off of the senior COVID desk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I was watching Ruben on Ruben Report interview a meteorologist whose husband's parents died in a nursing home. And one of the points she brought up was that the numbers that are being reported even today don't include the nursing home patients that contracted COVID in the nursing home, but then went to the hospital and died in the hospital. It's only the ones that physically died in the nursing home that they're even reporting today.
Yeah, you know, and as you know, I live in Florida, and there was a report today about how Florida way outdid California and New York on the senior front. But, you know, I don't know. I just, you know,
well, I guess it's like golf where the low numbers are good, right?
Well, I can tell you from a medical standpoint, I just thought it was really bad when the state of New York said they were going to put the COVID patients in with the senior citizens. I'm not even a doctor, but I have that much experience in medicine to know that's a bad idea. That's a really bad idea.
But yet,
one,
this motherfucking – go ahead, B.
It's a respiratory transfer disease, and most elderly people have weakened respiratory systems. Unless they were physically active and stuff like that. But, yeah, it was just, I thought, a bad idea from day one. And the fact that Ron DeSantis came out and said, no, we're not going to do that, that impressed me very much. That he would have the people research it.
Yeah, I see a future DeSantis ticket there. But, you know, this cocksucker Cuomo got an Emmy for his COVID press briefings.
But isn't that acknowledgement that he was acting?
I'm not sure what it was for, but...
That's true.
All the world is on stage.
Yeah. That's what
sure
we like
is.
To do. Give out awards.
Sure
Shakespeare
is.
Wasn't being metaphorical.
Right, right. Okay, guys, this next one is huge. Jason Miller, a spokesman for 45th President Donald Trump, confirmed yesterday, well, it wasn't yesterday because we were on break, but that the former president is working on his own social media site, likely to be called Trumper, that will launch in the summer of 2021. Jason Miller confirmed early reports that President Trump is working on his own social media website, telling the press that President Trump will be returning to social media in 2 or 3 months with his own platform that will completely redefine the game and attract tens of millions of new users. And I believe that it will. What say you, Pepe?
Well, anybody that's dealt with the trials and tribulations of alt tech startups like Gab or Parler lets out an exasperated sigh and giggle at the mere thought, Jay. Done right, say, as a federated node based on, for example, the open source Gab project, where posts could flow seamlessly between those two platforms and any other, and Trump mainly provided what's missing right now, the payment processing, it would be fantastic. I don't think it's going to be like that, though. Think InfoWars. I can't wait for my gold-infused nutritional supplements, though.
I forgot all about that. There's so much social media out there. I truly think that it would be Trump supporters. What do you think, B?
I think it's going to be everyone. Because
really?
if you I can tell you for 4 years, people were fascinated with Donald Trump tweeting, whether or not you liked him or you didn't like him. You were just waiting to see what he was going to say.
Good point. Yeah.
And you look at the numbers now, Twitter's numbers are, they're low because he's tweeting, you know, so... Say what you will, you know, certain people can create a buzz.
And to that, kind of to that point, I think I read that CNN, the Nielsen's or whatever, whoever the hell does that, probably a liberal outlet, says that CNN's ratings dropped another 46%. Pepe, you hear anything about that?
For CNN, yeah. Yeah, they're in free fall.
One other thing about the
Trump thing, the Trump people, basically conservative Inc., not necessarily Trump himself, but the people, you know, the hangers-on, tried to buy out Gab again, and only when Torba told them to pound sand did they start talking about starting their own.
You know, I'm not the happiest with Gab lately. And me and Andrew certainly have our love-hate relationship, as you may well know. But I got to give him props for fighting.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, they're going forward with creating a new cell phone, new app store, and a new banking system. So.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, guys. Okay.
I'm sorry, Jay.
Go ahead, B.
On Gab, I think it's important for organizations like that to fight. We got to have someone fighting for us. And that's one thing Donald Trump was doing, fighting for the little guy.
No, I agree with you 100%, bud. Okay, for I'm not sure what the fuck news, Trump admin official sets up OnlyFans account. Now, I'm sure most of us know what that is. Compare yourself to Melania Trump. That's right, folks. Trump administration official Britannia Rose Housey has set up an OnlyFans account featuring pornography imagery of herself. If I could talk English, I'd be doing better. The news was first reported by Red Eagle Politics, a YouTube channel that provides right-wing populist political analysis. According to Red Eagle Politics, Housley is one of Jared Kushner's disastrous hires for the Trump admin. Housley, previously a vocal MAGA commentator on social media, and also appeared as a guest on Elijah Schaefer's slightly offensive show on Blaze TV. But wait, there's more. The OnlyFans account reportedly features nude images of Housley, as well as images and videos of her penetrating her JJ area the other side with various toys. She also offers dick ratings, where she will rate your cock for a good tip, as well as sexting sessions. Asked why she would stoop to OnlyFans, she replied that she had long wanted to get on the explicit platform. Quote, I wanted to make one. Yes, even when I was doing politics, it's as simple as that, unquote, she said. Quote, nudity has never bothered me, unquote. She noted that her social followers should not have been surprised she took the next step into pornography, given her previous provocative imagery of herself on Instagram. Quote, I posted a pic of myself in a see-through Blue Lives Matter t-shirt, for Christ's sake, she said. Where have you been? And no, we aren't giving you the said link out. Now, Pepe, I've seen pics, a pic of her, not bad, but no Melania.
Well, jiggity. Well, nudity is very much a cultural thing. And as a free speech absolutist, I certainly wouldn't knock her for expressing herself. As a staunch capitalist, it would be antithetical to argue that if she's got it to sell, then she shouldn't while the iron is hot, so to speak. In this case, though, it has more to do with Kushner and his disastrous attempts at reconciliation, in my opinion. So that's a whole other rabbit hole.
Go ahead.
That was great. I totally agree with you, Adam. I mean, you know, personal space and personal decisions, as long as it doesn't affect anybody else, I mean, you know, you should, and you're an adult, you should be able to make your own decisions, you know. And if I'm a nudist, I should be able to be nude within the confines of my own home on my property. So,
only if you've been vaccinated and you wear a mask.
Look, guys, I am pre-internet, thank God. But I'm sure there's several thousand Polaroids out there. Anyway, we'll move on, guys. Now, Pepe, we would be remiss if we did not mention Joe Biden's fall up the stairs of Air Force One, not once, not twice, but three times.
And
White House says Biden fell repeatedly because it was pretty windy outside. It wasn't. The White House and pro-Biden corporate media have placed the blame on President Joe Biden's repeated tumbles while attempting to climb the stairs of Air Force One on wind gusts. Data shows wind at Joint Base Andrews did not meet the hurricane force speed threshold required to knock a fully grown adult off their feet. And in fact, it did not exceed 30 miles per hour. It's pretty windy outside. It's very windy. I almost fell coming up the stairs myself. He is doing 100%, unquote, White House Principal Deputy Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre stated. In an attempt to explain why the leader of the free world fell repeatedly while ascending the stairs to Air Force One. Pepe.
Falling Biden causes wet stairs indeed, Jay. I'm sure normies with their terminal Gilman amnesia have already forgotten Biden deriding Trump as old and frail for, quote, slow walking, or even just the all-encompassing narrative shift in reporting since the 2020 selection as a whole. But whatever you do, don't call him a potato, as we found out earlier. That's racist.
Go ahead, B.
Pink potato, that's great. It's gotta be the most interesting situation.
Oh God, help me.
Oops, Yeah, it looks like he's gone disconnected on us here. Let me go poke him in the side of the head real quick, and we can move on to the Gateway Pundit one.
Oh, I dropped? Oh, shit.
No, you didn't drop. Our caller dropped.
Oh, he dropped. Oh,
yes,
darn.
But he's standing on the other side of the wall talking to himself. So get started on Gateway Pundit, and I'll have him call back in.
Talking to himself. Okay,
yep.
From the Gateway Pundit. Let's get this together. During a patriotic cruise through Salem, Oregon, several black block-clad Antifa terrorists turned out to head off what they, for some reason, think were a bunch of racist white supremacists. One old man got caught up in the fray. His truck was pummeled by debris, shattering windows and hitting him. As he gets out of his truck, the terrorists continue to throw objects at him as they close in. Surrounded and under direct threat, the old man draws a pistol and racks around. Now, the big bad Antifa thugs realize they've messed with the wrong guy, and they quickly back away while continuing to yell at him. Seconds later, police come running in, not to head off the violent Antifa thugs, no. After all, this is Oregon we're talking about here. Cops draw their weapons and order the old man to the ground. He tosses a gun in the bed of his pickup truck, and he hits the ground. Arms outstretched, riot cops come in running as the old man is ordered to stay down and lock his fingers behind his head. Now, originally, Pepe, when we were working this up, the MSM reported that the man was arrested. Not true, reports the Oregonian. State police are investigating it, reports.
Yeah, they arrested him, they detained him, but they didn't charge him with anything, is what I read. Mostly they were just getting him out of there before the mob attacked and killed him, or he was forced to shoot somebody. Protective custody, as it was, you know, more to protect the rioters than him. Remember, cops' only purpose, and I think, weren't you a former police officer?
Cops, yes, sir.
Cops' only purpose is to support the government. So animosity towards cops is the natural result of corrupt politicians. So I'm sure he'll be charged any day now.
Well, I truly hope not. This is what turns around and winds up giving cops and prosecutors a bad name. Did we get B back?
Yes, I'm back.
Oh, hey, B. What's your take on this, B?
I think, for me, I'm like you. I'm pre-internet also. And growing up, cops were your friend, but
yep.
Now they're not your friend. And so I don't know how we change the perception if kids are brainwashed to thinking all cops are bad, you know.
Right.
It's about spending more time. The police... spending more time on the streets or with the community, and the community spending more time with the police. It's got to be a relationship. If you don't have a relationship, it's hard to communicate with somebody.
Well, like you, if I'm understanding you correctly, it's like if you're being taught they're bad, then how do you counteract that?
Yes,
you know, and
exactly.
There are bad cops. Trust me.
Yeah, there are. My cousin was a police officer for 29 years, and he was very successful. And one of the reasons he was successful is he grew up in the town where he was a cop. He knew the families. He played sports. So you're playing against different schools, and you meet people, and you know people. And you have relationships with them. So if there's a situation that goes on and you know that the victim or the defendant is the cousin of somebody, you can go speak
right.
to them, get the story, understand the story, find out what happened, and solve the crime. But
well,
if you don't have a relationship with anybody in the neighborhood, You're sort of like trying to work uphill.
Yeah, you know, when I was growing up, you know, I was a, in the late 70s, I was a 17-year-old. But then as I got older, the cops were people I went to high school with. You know? And they'd be like, if they came out to your house, they'd be like, now, hey, Jay, stop being an ass, you know?
Yeah,
that was pretty much, that was pretty much the end of it.
I got a great story for you, Jay. I was probably like 17. I was with my best good friend. We were in his car. He was speeding. We're in the city. Anyway, cop pulls us over. Cop gets out of the car, comes to the window. It's my cousin. Hey, how's it going? What's up? He's like, what are y'all up to today? I was like, just trying to have a good time away from home. He was like, okay, have a good day. Don't speed. I was like, okay.
I can feel you. The county I grew up in, from 1970-78, my uncle was a sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And four of my first cousins were, me and a buddy and I, we were underage, out drinking, driving, and got pulled over by my first cousin.
And
he's like, please tell me there's no weed in the car. I'm like, oh, there's no weed, but there's a 12-pack in back.
Yeah.
You know, and we're minors.
Oh, yeah.
He goes,
I'm gonna
follow you home. And that's pretty mad, you know, mothers against drunk drivers.
Oh, way before then. That wasn't until I was in high school, 84, 85.
Exactly. Okay, guys, great first half. That brings us halfway, folks. Grab you some Georgia whiskey.
Right.
Hit the can, then we'll be back in 2.5.
All right.
I want
Well, 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 welcome back to the Radio Infidel Show and episode number 2 of the Big Think with Pepe. Welcome back to Big Think with Pepe. In our last episode, we explored the connections between human behavior and propaganda, or as some like to refer to it, the news, the creation of the surgeon doctor bred from the industrial warfare inspired by the spirit of revolution with its conjoined rejection of all things status quo, and expounded on the viral wet chicken and egg streets. How do we get here, though? How does revolution and our intrinsic propensity to run away from that which we do not understand lead us to lockdowns and masks? How could COVID be a hoax? As Douglas Adams famously wrote, the answer is 42. But to understand the who and why of the COVID hoax, we really do have to start at the beginning, for lack thereof. This metaphysical journey starts as they all do, where one must first decide, as Bill Clinton so famously quandared, if is, well, is. For many, the leap into questioning the very existence of everything is too big to risk. This is how the big lie of the science guy was cemented in the modern psyche. That science guy capitalized like a proper noun, as per, air quote, journalistic standards. It always bothered me as a child that adults, especially scientists, could seriously believe any creation myth, even one couched so thoroughly in science like the Big Bang. Did you know that the Big Bang is a derisive term coined by astrophysicist Sir Fred Hoyle? In retrospect, it's obvious the Big Bang was contrived to silence potential theological arguments against big government by providing a Genesis event, fulfilling any scripture, while still not answering the basic question of where did everything come from? Personally, I never accepted the, quote, origin of everything as a valid question. Everything coming from nothing, and not in the sense of matter spontaneously winking in and out of existence in the near-perfect vacuum of outer space, but rather in the sense of our, quote, universe existing before or after something else, just seemed to miss the point entirely. Let me explain. You may be aware of the strange science known as quantum physics and the weird properties subatomic particles exhibit, but the quite obvious extrapolation, at least to me, is that what we perceive as, quote, the universe is merely a matter of perspective, pun intended. We human creatures observe the universe the way we do because of how we are constructed. Even just yesterday, a random Twitter bot told me that the pattern that cells use to divide in biology perfectly matches the fundamental structure of the fabric of the space that it's dividing in. We are chemical engines operating under the physical laws those chemical reactions occur within, with all the inherent quantum weirdness and obvious recursion that implies. This very obvious recursion, the fact that our existence and how we observe it, is what creates our perception of measurable properties such as time, fundamentally defines our very existence. Think fractals. Since all matter in our observable universe obeys these same laws, it is easy to forget that the matter we observe only exists the way it appears to exist because we are constructed of that same material. Properties that we observe, time, distance, mass, do not exist as fundamental properties of what everything is. It is just a result of that underlying quantum stuff interacting with itself. This, of course, leaves us with esoteric metaphysical questions, which lead to the two popular explanations, steady state versus simulation. Simply stated, the steady-state theory, the accepted theory that was dropped for the more marketable and derisively named Big Bang theory, stated that everything that is always has been. Today we understand this theory doesn't apply to the observable universe as such, but rather to the background quantum flux that everything is, quote, made out of. The simulation theory is exactly the same in result, but posits that the, quote, quantum flux isn't real and is actually a computer program or otherwise fabricated construct via a deity, turtles, or any number of other postulates. The end result for our perception of reality is the same, so the argument is moot, and even if it's not moot, we have no standing to even question it. So perhaps this creates a condition where all people fall into one of two thought camps biologically. Scientologists, for lack of a better word and not referring specifically to the group of the same name, believe everything is contrived, and naturalists who believe everything just exists and is, resulting in an unconscious perception filter that could explain the ease with which people are manipulated into believing facts that conform to one of these two primary perspectives. We'll use the newly forged term BlueAnon to refer to these science worshippers to avoid confusion with Oprah couch jumpers, but the blatant overlap in ideology is no surprise. Either way, the universe just is. This leaves a hole for BlueAnon to leverage against Western democracies with a plurality of our population. the average Joe, the population at large, the big lie, the lie of the, quote, expert, always capitalized. With their position as the arbiter of truth established via, quote, scientifically proven genesis event, Marxists slash progressive slash Blue-Anons are free to push their simulation agenda. A reasonable position, I suppose, because if everything is pure edict, then why not declare yourself as the arbiter of reality? Why not change everything for the better? This is literally what Marx advocated, that human behavior is programmed by society. Now, unlike She Who Shall Not Be Named, I shall circle back to our favorite player, Dr. Fauci. The advent of the doctor, surgeon, statistician, wet streets causing rain, and the big lie right on front of your face. It has been well established by none other than Dr. Fauci himself that Fauci lied about the efficacy of mask wearing early in the pandemic to prevent the public from buying masks so that medical staff would have enough. Minimal research finds that medical staff don't wear masks to prevent the transmission of dangerous human respiratory viruses. They wear masks to prevent the transmission of benign human flora to immune-deficient or surgical patients. Our bodies host a higher population of symbiotic bacterial organisms than our own organ cell count, remember? Many of those friendly bugs will kill you if they get under your skin or you are otherwise sick enough. Fauci's lie isn't a question of, quote, did he lie then or is he lying now? He's quite simply never stopped lying. The, quote, official line, Japs, jackanapes. Fauci is patient zero for what should be the epidemic of red pill realization that the, quote, great cabal really does lie to your face while telling you they are lying to your face while demanding that you treat their every utterance as fact. This behavior dates back to the very inception of our modern medical system. With revolution and the new mathematics of statistics, millions of new patients were available to be data crunched. How disease progressed, how well treatment worked, and with student doctors and patient records and new methods of examination, as James Burke once explained, the patient became less involved in his own treatment as new instruments made it possible for a doctor to find out what was wrong with you without even having to ask. And by 1830, Paris was the hospital central of the world, and foreign students were flocking into it to find out how this clinical medicine worked. The doctor orders, and you do. The entire society doctors built for themselves, steeped in the proto-Marxism of post-revolution France, gave these self-entitled medical elite the self-realized moral directive to prescribe medicine and behavior. As an example, take, for instance, the thoughtlessness with which doctors routinely direct a patient to not consume alcohol when taking prescribed medications. Patients are led to assume this order from your doctor has to do with drug interaction, but no. In all but very rare circumstances, there is no drug interaction, but rather the doctor is lying to you in order to modify your behavior, literally because they don't want you to get drunk and forget to take your medication. It's a tradition built into the societal code of the modern doctor. Fauci wasn't just lying about masks last year. He's been telling you what he thinks you need to hear to achieve his perverted goal of, quote, the greater good. As Picard once said, there are four lights. We all know this collectively, but common sense is not so common. We forget to ask, what do these purposeful deceptions say about other hot medical topics? What are we being told about, for example, reproductive rights? It's now blatantly obvious that public medical organizations are being used for political agendas, and these Marxist control freaks openly state they desire the reduction of the human population. Not reduction in the rate of growth, mind you, but a drastic reduction from current numbers. It becomes quite obvious that, quote, reproductive rights is yet another newspeak term for replacing the old standby, genocide. We have Fauci's own testimony that he lies about public health policy for a mystical, quote, better good, whilst being solidly in the camp that campaigns for the reduction of the human population. It seems more likely than not that Fauci's recommendations on mask wearing is fulfilling the, quote, greater goal, and that greater goal is not protecting individual human life, but rather reducing its scope. This ideal, killing millions of people, is not problematic at all for Blue-Anon minds, but they are not smooth brains, as many would have you believe. They think they are, quote, in on it, and truly believe it's only the other, the less anointed, the less deserving, the shadow in the bush that will be eliminated. So why masks? The answer is a Blue-Anon implemented perfect confluence of mind control techniques. What other narratives were being pushed just before the mask mandate? Well, of course it was George Floyd and, quote, I can't breathe, wasn't it? Serendipitous, perhaps, until you take into account Floyd's script during his arrest just previous to his fatal overdose. where he also proclaimed I Can't Breathe, a script developed and pushed by all the usual characters after the 2014 botched arrest of Eric Garner in Bill de Blasio and Kumu's New York. A botched arrest over cigarette taxation turned into an anti-police crusade by politicians and journalists intent on implementing their vision of the greater good. The ends justify the means in politics, as it does in the society doctors enjoy, with its own set of rules and ethics, where lying to the patient is just fine. So here we are, a year into 15 days to flatten the curve, with the global medical political complex leading the social justice battle for, quote, the greater good, signaling their control, perpetuating their focus group-approved I Can't Breathe mantra, aiding their street violence terror campaign, and flipping the script on one of their favorite plot lines, the GMPC brings you, quote, I can't breathe and now you can't either. The medical political complex has decided that you are the disease, with the intersectional social justice imperative couched in a self-proclaimed noble lie with an unspoken intent of perpetuating global genocide. Just wear the mask, bigot.
Great report, Pepe. Hey, now, Pepe, we have some new information from the CDC, do we not, on vaccine deaths?
Well, actually, the latest is a group that tracks adverse reactions to vaccines in Europe. And the latest information is a new report for numbers through March with 3,964 people in Europe dead, adverse reactions to the various COVID-19 vaccines, with another 162,000 injured. So that's just in Europe.
Yeah, quite interesting. You know, I'm not taking it. I'm not getting it. They're pushing for a vaccine passport.
Yep.
I don't go anywhere but home to work. Okay, so. B, what's your thought on this madness?
The thing about it is, they haven't done enough research on the vaccines to begin with. Most of the vaccines, they spend 5 years research.
Human trials and everything.
Human trials. So to make something in a year and not test it, I mean, it's a little bit scary.
And, of course, the vaccines are only approved for use because it's an emergency. So that's why they have to continue the lockdowns so that they can continue to administer these experimental drugs under emergency conditions.
But I don't even think that the vaccines were tested on lab animals. Not that you should do that. Don't email me.
Well, I mean, these aren't vaccines in the traditional sense. These are messenger RNA fragments that theoretically your body absorbs, which causes your cells to create copies of the spike protein, which is supposedly what identifies the SARS-2 virus. Now, I'm watching a video of a doctor he's the one that actually first identified viruses using the electron microscope. And what he discovered with the electron microscope were what are called bacteriophages. And further study, he actually determined that they're fundamentally a bacterial spore. It's basically what a cell throws out during its dying days that can then, you know, like spores of fungus, can grow another bacteria. So that original research got bastardized by many different people. And in the 50s, most of what is today commonly accepted as viral theory was proven to be wrong. So somebody won a Nobel Prize in 1957 based on that faulty data that everyone knows is faulty. And now the public, you know, quote unquote truth is very far from it. it's an open question if there's anything such as a virus. I mean, there a virus as we know it today is a process, not a thing. It's a suspected agent in a suspected disease process, but it's more chicken and egg. There's just as much proof that it's a result of a sickness as opposed to the cause of it.
Right, right, right. Now, I Pepe, have you had the vax?
No.
B?
No. If anything,
okay,
I would want to get the Israeli vaccine. It's just developed differently than ours.
Is it an mRNA?
No.
What is it? Well, a vaccine is a disabled, you know, quote unquote dead sample of the
virus.
Quote unquote virus. We don't have any samples of SARS-2. It's never been isolated.
Bingo.
So you can't have a vaccine. That's why they redefined the term herd immunity, and they're trying to redefine again the term virus is sort of this ethereal thing that. It goes back to the basic studies that they did, quote unquote, proving viruses were a disease vector, and they never did a control. They never
right.
tested a control sample where they never compared treating healthy cells in the same way as they treated the viral cells didn't create the same conditions, because it does.
Well, you know, and none of us here are doctors or scientists or immunologists or whatever, but to what you're saying, Pepe, if you don't know what it's caused by, how can you isolate? You know what I'm saying? I mean,
Pepe's exactly right. If you can't isolate it, how do you can you develop something from it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So this mRNA thing is basically running on a hunch that's fundamentally unproven as to whether or not this, what they're calling SARS-2, is actually a causative agent, or, you know, their claim is they've discovered something that reacts with the ACE2 receptor. A protein that reacts, you know, a protein spike that reacts with the ACE2 receptor in people's blood, but all people have ACE2 receptor protein spikes in their blood because the ACE2 receptor is part of your hormone pathway. So when part of your body needs more hormones, it releases the ACE2.
To me, I still think they don't know shit. I'm just going to be honest.
They know a lot, but they don't know what they don't know.
Well, I mean, this sounds like getting a dick stuck up your ass to see if it feels good.
Fundamentally, yes. I mean, the great discovery of the disease vector of bacteria causing things like cholera put everyone in the mindset where all diseases were caused by some kind of germ. I mean, that goes back to, you know, the time of Plato. So the human mindset, you know, not through malfeasance, not through any criminal intent, just the common brain workings of human beings is that there must be some external causative agent that we can see in the blood that causes the disease. And it's unnatural to look at something like that and see it as the result of some kind of toxic shock to a cellular system, as opposed to the cause.
Well, Pepe, you're going to have to get us a medical person on because, you know, okay, bacterial infection is treated with antibiotics.
Right, and bacteria are little living organisms that, through no fault of their own, do something in your body that's toxic to you, right? Or even on purpose. I mean, they're alive. They have every right to try and kill you if they can.
It's like last week I had strep throat on top of the pollen, and they give me antibiotics, and 3 days later I was new. Well, not new, but good.
Exactly. So probably your body was, you know, affected by the pollen. You probably coughed a lot, which caused throat irritation, which allowed your naturally occurring Streptococcus flora to populate in places where it shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, something was populating, I'll guarantee that.
I know, anyway. Right? Not in the way you like.
I guarantee. All right, B, come on, give it to me.
That's great.
Yeah, we don't want to get too deep into breeding with Jay here. So it's a family show, you know.
No, let's not do that anyway. All right, guys. It's going to bring us up against the clock. Pepe's going to start flipping me off, tell me I'm out of time. Be sure to listen to our friends Tuesdays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. Central, on DLive.tv/NotSorrowShow. You won't be disappointed. I adjust my work schedule around it. That does it for us. Thanks to our special guest, B. We'll see you all next Monday. Get us out of here.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate you letting me be on tonight.
Anytime,
B. And good evening, everyone. And I'll leave you with this Suez Canal Anniversary Day immortal words from Ken Jennings. Hey, is the Suez Canal really slow for anyone else right now? Night, Jay.